For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into 96.5 The Fan. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey with you on a Chiefs non-victory Monday. Derek Johnson will join us in about 10 minutes. We'll get his reaction to it. But I want to dive more back into, is this, you know, why this is the rivalry? You brought up the key points earlier,
yeah, it
right?
Is, yeah, like, a lot of key points.
Teacher-pupil.
Yeah, teacher-pupil, right? Two stars in the most important roles, respect for each other. Each side wins games. It's not lopsided. There's postseason games. There's legendary moments, and fans respect each other.
Is the next closest rivalry Pittsburgh-Baltimore?
I think so.
Dude, I thought somebody's getting hit yesterday in, like, every play.
Yeah, they hate each other.
Every play is, like, break it up. And then there's... somebody about found out who Trey Smith was yesterday, too.
Oh,
I was kind of hoping that they didn't do that.
Somebody about found out who he was.
Like, he just blocked the guy to the ground, and then here comes old boy, dives on him.
57 diving on top of the pile,
like,
right?
Do you know who that is? Like, this man, this man is a dangerous man.
Yeah, that was the one that got stopped fast, because Trey Smith was about ready to go rounds with people out there on the field. But I think Baltimore-Pittsburgh is a great rivalry, you know, as well, but they don't have the two stars, you know. The Pittsburgh is doing this. I don't want to use the term smoke and mirrors, because that's not fair to their defense or to Mike Tomlin, but they're doing it with, as you mentioned, a humbled Russell Wilson as their quarterback right now. And I also think the Pittsburgh and Baltimore fans do not respect each other, do not like each other, and do not care for each other. Bills and Chiefs fans genuinely, I think, do like each other, except for the 3 hours that we're playing each other. And at the end, you can go, man, that was a hell of a game. Like, I was getting texts from my friend Gaffney and whatnot. He goes, that was a great game. I go, I don't think it was a great game. And I'm not saying that because the Chiefs lost that game. I don't think it was one of the better games that we played. But that goes back and shows you the respect that I think each side has for each other in this type of thing. Like, you're not afraid to talk to your friends that maybe Buffalo Bills fans, because you respect him. Like, that's a hell of a game, man. We'll see you in January.
Call your dad during the commercial break.
Why?
Ian Rapoport.
Yeah.
The Giants are benching quarterback Daniel Jones.
Good.
Officially moving on from their starter.
Yeah, they have to. They have
out of the bye week with the team 2-8. Jones now heads to the bench in what the team has said would be a football decision.
Oh, well, because he sucks. Yeah.
So right. It's over. Andy Kaufman's out.
Gone. It's also a contract decision, because if he fails his physical next year, they owe him like $25 million.
Physical.
No. He has to pass that physical.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
You know, he's passing that physical.
And gone.
Daniel Jones. Now, the question is, do you put in, you know, Chicken Cutlet DeVito, or do you go with Drew Lock?
You know my answer.
I know what your answer is, but I think if you ask most of New York, they want to see
Tommy
DeVito go in there. But you also, I mean, you're 2-8. Like, what are we playing for at this point in time, right? Like, so you got to convince these veterans to go the rest of the way. I think the veterans may rally around Chicken Parm, man. Like, you tell me, Chicken Parm or Drew Lock? I don't know.
Yeah, if I'm the Giants, Dexter Lawrence has a hamstring injury. Sorry. See you next year. I'm not risking anything. Yeah.
Brian Bird's like, I got a knee.
Yeah.
Another guy's got a neck, you know.
Yeah. So Daniel
crazy.
Jones.
So that's
benched.
The first move of the day on Monday. Alrighty. Is that Daniel Jones is being benched. Shocker.
Doug Peterson
coming soon. Still employed?
Yeah.
7 minutes past 8 on the East Coast, and Doug Peterson hasn't gotten the walking papers yet? I mean, that was just an embarrassment yesterday by them. God.
Oh, I mean, nobody showed. I mean, they had Mac Jones as their quarterback.
Yeah, but they still gave up 52. Mac Jones didn't have much to do with that.
Who would have had more points yesterday, Mac Jones, Mac Morey?
I want to slang it around there, baby. Come on. Yeah. You kidding me?
You know, I know what Mac Jones did. I don't know what Mac Morey did, so I'm going to go with Mac. Morey. Not Jones.
Mac's awesome. Yeah.
Okay. I told you yesterday you should change your last name to a fee so you can be Mac a fee.
Another guy that's also going to get probably canned is Zach Taylor.
Starting to trend that way to Juicy Chase after the game.
The Athletic says, after the Bengals lost to the Chargers, several players mentioned they need to, quote, finish games properly.
That's coaching.
But when Ja'Marr Chase was asked how the team could finish better, he pointed to head coach Zach Taylor. I don't call the plays for us, you know, so I can't really do nothing. I mean, dude, he's lost it. He's lost the locker room.
He's lost.
It's over.
He's lost Jamar Chase, though, I feel like, since day one with that thing, right?
So is that where Detroit's offensive coordinator goes?
Boy, I'm going to tell you, if you're that offensive coordinator of Detroit, you got to go somewhere where there's a quarterback, right?
That's the spot, and
that's the spot. If they fire Zach Taylor, I've always said this with like Spags and Bieniemy and Nagy and Peterson for a little bit of time, but he got out of here before the Mahomes thing took over. If you're in Detroit right now as the offensive coordinator, you got a really good job, right? You're probably making about $4 million per year, right? Nice spot, no pressure, you're winning games. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden you take a head coaching job, and you take a head coaching job in Jacksonville, or you take a head coaching job in Dallas or someplace where there's not a quarterback. I wouldn't take those jobs, but, Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, maybe that convinces T. Higgins to stay in Baltimore if you've got...
he'd have to take a pay cut.
He probably would, or in Cincinnati, good. I mean. But you've got a really good offensive mind coming in with a quarterback. Now that's something that I would listen to. But if I'm that guy in Detroit, Ben Johnson, whatever his name is, I'm not taking a job with the Jets. I'm not taking a job with the Giants. I'm not taking a job with a team that doesn't have the infrastructure in place. And a lot of times, those coaches aren't getting fired. But in this instance, where you have the infrastructure in place with a great quarterback and a great wide receiver, man, if I'm Johnson, I'm calling Cincinnati today and saying, you fire Zach Taylor, I will take that job. That's a good spot for him.
The good thing for him is he doesn't have to call anybody because people have been calling him for 2 years.
Yeah, he's been holding off. No.
Like, good for him.
You don't have to go to the best, the first job that's out there, because if you continue to win, it will be more enticing. Mm-hmm. You will be a better candidate. And now you have the opportunity to potentially go to a job that has one of the four best quarterbacks in the game, or five best, however you want to look at it. You're ready to roll. You're not taking over a franchise that has a guy who's known for chicken cutlets as opposed to a guy who's known for going to a Super Bowl. Like, Joe Burrow could thrive with this offensive coordinator from the Detroit Lions.
Do they have a chicken cutlet sandwich at Jasper's?
They do. You can get the chicken cutlet
I'm
sandwich.
I'm getting it Friday.
Chicken parm sandwich. Yeah.
I'm going to go to that establishment on Friday and get it. I've always wanted to try one of those because I just...
You can get whatever you want. You just say, I'd like chicken parm on a roll, please.
Ben Johnson or Vrabel, if you're the Bengals?
It's Ben Johnson because Vrabel's a defensive guy and you've got the offense in place. Gotcha. You've got to go with the offensive guy, I think.
Damn it. According to Adam Schefter, the New York Giants are expected to replace Daniel Jones with Tommy DeVito as their starter.
He gives him spark. You're a business. Yeah. You are a business.
Is his agent going to be there, too?
I hope so.
Secret agent, man?
You want to talk about another grift, that agent guy.
Yeah, that guy's a grifter for sure.
There's no question. But that's what the fans want.
Yes, he's part of the bit.
It's part of the whole thing. The fans want it. It's a business. People will buy tickets. There will be hype. There will be excitement because this guy from Jersey eats chicken parm, lives in his mom's basement, is now going to be the starting quarterback. You know what happened last year, but you're not a starting quarterback in the NFL.
He could be.
Here's the interesting thing. They played Tommy DeVito last year, and they won games, and that prevented them from getting Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, well.
Forgot about that.
So, those are the decisions that you're making, and I know nobody thinks about that inside the team because you're still trying to win games and you owe it to your players and whatnot to try to go out there and put your best foot forward. But playing Tommy DeVito last year cost them Jaden Daniels, changing the course of that Washington franchise.
We get into Bob Fesco's head on the other side, plus we'll get to Derek Johnson in about 10 minutes on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back in. Derek Johnson will join us here in about less than 10 minutes. 7:25, we'll have DJ on the line. Before we get in to DJ, I want to get inside the mind of Fesco. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll have Tough Tuesdays, Likens Library. But I want to ask you something, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Because this seemed to be one of the top three asked questions yesterday.
Okay.
One of them was, do you think they should have challenged the play at the end of, like, what was it, the third, where they got, I forget what the play was, but somebody brought up on the text line as well, where they said they could have challenged the play. They didn't get it. It was like third and eight. They got the first down. The other one was, Xavier or Mahomes on that play.
Sure.
Because that, if he scores, changes probably the direction of that game. Without a doubt. Mm-hmm. If you want to have that conversation with Cam.
That was a 40-yard play that was taken off the board.
He would have scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
For sure would have scored.
Yeah.
Like he would have, if you, whatever. That connection needs to get on. That we could have a talk about that on Tuesday. Because he still had 4 for 61 and a bill. But the question a lot of people had is, do you think the Chiefs should have gone for two? And what? Was it a mistake not going for it?
What's the situation?
Believe at the time, Mac, you know probably better than I do, it was they had just scored, decided to get a field goal. And get, they,
was it
they,
the one where it cut it to 23-21?
Yes.
Okay, so you cut it to 23-21 with about 9 minutes or so to go in the game.
Because I know you're anti-go for two. Yeah. You're a big advocate of get your points.
Get your points. Yeah, and I also think the other thing that factors in is you've got a really good defense that for the last 3 years has propelled everybody under 30 points. And so the odds of you going out there, especially in the second half, and getting a defensive stop, you're going to play with that every single day. So let's say you do go for 2 points there and you don't get it. Now you're down three. So instead of a field goal giving you the opportunity to win 24-23, a field goal is only going to give you an opportunity to tie, and then you're potentially playing for overtime at that situation. So to answer your question, no, I would not have gone for three. Your offense was like, that was their best drive of the game that offense had, right? Mm. 17 yards from Kareem Hunt. Then we had the pass interference in the end zone, set up the Noah Gray touchdown reception. That was their best drive. They put their head to the grindstone, as they like to say, or whatever that means. And they moved down the field. They had their best drive of the game. They scored. They cut it with two with about eight and change to go roughly at that point in time. No, I'm not going for two. There's a lot of time left in that game. Your defense, for the most part, has played great since the Super Bowl against Philadelphia. You're playing obviously a team that you've had the number of. I think you put your defense back out there and say, go ahead and make a stop. And they had opportunities to make a stop. You know, there was there were many plays that they had. They had a 3rd and 10. They gave up 11. There was a 4th and 2. They gave up a 27-yard touchdown run. So there were opportunities there for the defense to get off the field and make the play. They just didn't. And for the first time, we saw the defense not come through and not make a big play, where for the last, I don't know, 2 years, they've come through and they've made those plays. So I'm absolutely not going for two. What I'm doing in that situation is exactly what Andy did there. Cut it to two. Put your defense back out there. Your offense is humming at that point in time. Rely on your defense to get a stop. Get the ball back. Move down the field. Then you potentially kick the game-winning field goal, win 24-23. In that type of situation. That's the way that I would work. I only go for two at the end of games when I need to go for two, because if they don't go for two in that situation, then you're down three and people are complaining about that too. The same people who are complaining they should have gone for two are the same people that would have been complaining had they gone for two and missed. 100%.
You know? No, I get that. I guess just explaining the other side, the reason you go for two if you're confused and listening is because you'd be down one, they get a touchdown, then that way you're only down eight, you're not out of it, a two-possession game, whereas you saw yesterday, Chiefs were down nine, it kind of felt over there at the end. I get what you're saying. I think, honestly, the Bills are the only team.
What if the Bills go for two in that situation?
And they might, but that's a lot harder, right? Now you're asking for them to get eight, and if they don't get it, boom, you're down seven, all of a sudden you're back in business, baby. Or you're down seven, so... I would say the Bills are the only team that I have this philosophy with, honestly.
Yeah, okay.
I'm with you on every other team. It's just Josh Allen.
Yeah.
That's the only guy where I'm like, okay, let's get these points. Let's do it.
Yeah, but there's no guarantees. Like, getting two is hard. I mean, did you see Lamar try to get that two-point conversion at the end yesterday?
What was that?
I don't know.
I mean, they just strung them out. Like, it's so hard for these teams to get two. I'm just take my points, and you know what? I'm relying on my defense.
Yeah.
This defense had not given up 30 points in a game since the Super Bowl against Philadelphia. That's two full seasons almost where they didn't give up 30 points in a game. And so the odds would say our defense is going to go out there and get a play. And when does this defense normally play good? At the end of games. Mm-hmm. They come up with the big play, the big stop, the big moment. They just didn't, you know, they just didn't. And, you know, the Buffalo Bills are paid professionals as well. They get paid too. So they made plays. We didn't. Tip your cap to them. See you in January.
Nose to the grindstone.
What did I say? Face to the grindstone?
Face or head. Yeah, 14 points allowed in the second half for Buffalo when you're averaging 7. So they doubled your run total. So, I mean,
yeah,
you know, whatever it is, you lose 30-21. I mean, look, we knew this team wasn't going to go undefeated, right? Like, you just, nobody does. I mean, how many guys are still alive from that Dolphins team that got to pop champagne?
Did they pop champagne last night, too?
Oh,
or
did
they pop prune juice and eat scones in the home?
I love scones, by the way.
Too dry for me.
No, I love scones.
Do you?
Hy-Vee Bakery has scones.
Good ones. Oh, yeah, I've always felt the scone was just too crumbly and dry. I need a moister cake.
I hate you.
You like dry cake? You like dry pastry? Like,
Stop.
Give me moist.
Stop.
You bite a scone and then you bite a moist cake. You tell me what's better.
You just say cake. Derek Johnson in 2 minutes. Do you think, because I think the other thing that's about this loss, a lot of people are like, now they're going to go beat Carolina by 40.
I don't know that they're going to beat Carolina by 40.
I bet the Chiefs are 10.5 point favorites.
They're 11 point favorites.
11,
they're 11 point favorites.
Because I don't look until Tuesday for the next week.
Do that
unless
snap
it's like
again.
A huge.
So UberFax sent out a thing this morning that the snap sound comes from your middle finger actually hitting
the skin
on the on the heel of your
hand.
Why
you press hard on your thumb.
Not on the snap. It it comes from the thing. So I've been sitting here all morning snapping, like trying to see if to prove that wrong, but it's right. If you snap, the snap comes from when you hit your finger on the heel.
How many
of your
milligrams
thumb.
Are in that water bottle?
I was just reading UberFax this morning.
Deep thoughts with Jack Handy. No, but I do like it. Everybody's like, yeah, Buffalo, congratulations, midseason Super Bowl.
Right.
I hope that's not how they feel. Like, I don't know if I can't speak for Buffalo.
No, I don't think they do anymore.
I think they're
that's
just like,
just
a win's
win.
A win. We want the one seed. We want to play. But I mean, like, look, so many streaks have to come to an end.
Right.
Mahomes finally had to lose in Buffalo. The Chiefs weren't going to go undefeated. Would have been cool. Again, the narrative was always win a three-peat, and it was a tough game. And we all watched it, and we'd do it again and again and again and again in January.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to have that be the AFC Championship game, but in Kansas City. Speaking of somebody who played in Kansas City, we get to Derek Johnson.
He's the Chiefs' all-time leading tackler and four-time Pro Bowler.
Derek Johnson picks it. He's up the right sideline, 30-yard line, 25, and down into Washington territory. Derek Johnson.
But to us, he's our forever linebacker.
I want to be battle tested. I want to go through some adversity. I want to go through some things where you say, oh, man, we gotta figure this out.
Here's number 56, Derek Johnson with Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. Monday morning, 7:25, Derek Johnson time. It's brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Community America Credit Union, member-owned, open to all, invested in you, and Sheet Metal Workers, local number 2.
Well, DJ, we got our first loss out the way, as they like to say. What were your kind of initial thoughts leaving that one on Sunday against Buffalo?
Well, it was well worth the watch and the money and the hype. Two heavyweight fighters battling in Buffalo, and man, at the end of the day, it's the goal is not to win them all, right? It's not to win them all.
Did he just hang up on us?
I don't know. DJ, you there?
No, he's gone. And gone. Well, that was Derek Johnson presented by Community America Credit Union. Community America Credit Union, member owned, open to all, invest in you. Sheet Metal Workers, local number 2.
And jeez.
Yeah. Mm. The key to the season is not to win them all.
All right.
Oh, man.
Technology at its finest. At least it wasn't like Eberflus. Your phone is as bad as your offense.
Should we play the intro again? DJ, I know it was a tough loss, man, but geez, one question and you're out.
I know, right? Yeah, it's just
screw Buffalo the Bills. Loses, I'm hanging up.
Right. Well, when Buffalo loses, everything starts messing up, man.
Yeah,
I'll
right.
You, but the goal is not to win them all, right?
Yeah.
Now that would be cool. That's a cool stat or whatnot. But what the Chiefs have done in the last 5-6 years is really peak at the right time, and it's all about peaking at the right time. Chiefs played a great game, played a really good game. Buffalo played a better game, made a couple more plays, literally 2 or 3 more plays, and we actually win that game. And I was just hoping that at the end, when at the 4th-and-2, they would, you know, maybe kick it or whatnot. But nah, they knew better not to not to give Mahomes the ball back. But it was a great game. I enjoyed it.
My question for you, I only have a few today because I think we all know what the message is going forward with this team. It's all about January. But in that play, that 4th-and-2,
man, I don't do anything except sit on my ass and watch football, so I don't know how to play it. I just try to think I know what's going on, but I have to think, man, fourth and two, Josh Allen, big body running quarterback, you got to have a spy in that situation, and there was no middle linebacker. There was no linebacker spy. Maybe I didn't see it. What say you, Mr. Johnson?
Yeah, I don't think there was a spy. I'm not sure what Spags was thinking on that play. Usually he dials them up and he's really aggressive, and that time it was kind of like a man to man coverage, tight coverage, but no spy. maybe some reminders to the defensive line, hey, keep Josh Allen in the pocket, or control rush. But nah, I don't, honestly, when he dropped back, I was saying he's not going to pass it, man. He's just going to freaking run it, man. Yeah. It's just because that's what he does. And he's a scrappy big quarterback, and he could get 2 yards. And obviously, he got a touchdown on that play. But we'll learn from it. That's not, yep, it's not the end of the world. But man, it was a great. I love us going back and forth, heavyweight fight. Didn't start as fast as we wanted to, but we, really handled that hostile crowd. And Buffalo played. They had to play up. They had to play up to our standards. I think we're still a little bit better than Buffalo, but Buffalo, they needed that win more than we needed that win, put it like that.
Yeah, but also, how much do you put into, because I'm a big believer in when we play Buffalo in the regular season, or Cincinnati or Baltimore, some of these teams that you believe you're going to see in the postseason, I think Andy and company, they keep it a little vanilla. Like, I think when they see these guys in the AFC Championship game, we're going to see a totally different game plan, both offensively and defensively, against Buffalo.
Yeah, we will. We will. Andy's great at that. Andy's good at during the regular season. Everybody's, media's going all crazy. Hey, about certain big games or whatnot, which they should. But like yesterday, it was one of those things where Andy's just going to roll out certain vanilla plays, and Buffalo's thinking, oh my goodness, this is a smoke screen and this and this. And it's like, no, it's just our regular offense right now. We'll get to all the pretty cute stuff during the playoffs. But at the end of the day, they made a couple more plays than us. We played a really, really good game, so I don't want to kind of overshadow that by the loss. This is not a wake-up call. This is not a, oh, no, Buffalo has our number. It's just our wounds hurt a little bit more today just because we lost. That's it. But a couple of days, we'll be over.
Yeah, and also, too, though, you very rare do you see a team go perfect throughout the course of the regular season. How does a loss get utilized by Andy Reid to maybe correct things or get a message across that people were not maybe hearing until they lost the game and all that kind of jazz?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Thank you.
Actually, losses actually help you more than wins. It does. Now, now you don't want to lose a lot. That doesn't help you. But when you do lose here and there, it does help you just to really just to hone you in, so you can be more focused on your job and know that it's so much parity in the NFL that you have to be on your game every single play in every single game. This loss will help the Chiefs. This will kind of like let the Chiefs know, okay, hey guys, we got a few things to work out, but we're still the best team in the NFL.
Is there like an "I told you so" moment, like behind closed doors with Andy and maybe the rest of the coaching staff, where they kind of chuckle a little bit and go, "See, this is what we were talking about. This is going to be good now. We've got their attention." Is it's the holiday season, things start to get kind of crazy, and with all the holiday stuff that goes on with lives and whatnot, is this like one of those where the coaches kind of go, "See, that was probably pretty good that we got that loss, and now they're going to start paying attention a little bit more and doing the things we've been asking them to do"?
You know what, weirdly, yes. That does happen. For players, we want to win them all. I'm telling you, it's the when you're out there, coaches can they got a lot of wisdom, and they can see a little deeper than players. But players, we want to win them all. We want a perfect, believe it or not, I know that's not the goal, but as a player, you want to win them all. You don't want nobody to beat you because you have that confidence. But at the end of the day, we're going into these holidays and all this, I guess, you know, this festival stuff during November and December. But this will hone us in. We'll be more focused. This will help us throughout the year. So I don't want to say I'm glad that it happened, but it's kind of like, all right, we're good. We're human. You know, we're human, guys.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things that takes unnecessary and unwanted pressure that kind of develops with that. It's like, a pitcher gets to the sixth inning. I'd rather just give up the hit so I can focus on just getting the complete start and win. I don't need to worry about maybe throwing this magical, you know, perfect game. But again, the goal was always a three-peat. It was never a perfect season. That's just the bonus that comes with it. They still control the narrative, DJ. I mean, they're still the number one seed. They still have everything. I think this is probably the best I've seen the city respond to a loss in recent years. Obviously, there are little holes that need to be fixed, but that's what makes this team successful. You make second-half adjustments in the game. You make second-half adjustments in the season.
Yeah, and the Chiefs are the best at it. Now, there is a sense of urgency to keep winning because we still want things to come through Kansas City, you know, knowing that they get the tiebreaker. Buffalo, you don't want to have a record the same as them. They'll get that tiebreaker. But at the end of the day, it blows through Kansas City. And we have a good situation. If you're a Chiefs fan, we're good. We're not, we don't have any rebuttal or going back and forth with Buffalo saying, you know, who's better. You know, they kind of know who's better. They got one up on us during the season right now from yesterday. But we'll be back. We're good. Mm-hmm.
What's your biggest thing that needs to be fixed, if you will, after that game yesterday? Maybe it was one of those things all season long that just kind of, you know, reared its ugly head yesterday because of the loss.
Yeah, well, I think we need to control the ball a little bit better on offense, and that's just being able to run it more. And obviously, you know, when we get extra running back with Pacheco, that's going to help out. Mm-hmm. And the running game actually helps Pat. Believe it or not, it helps him to the game to flow better. He can get better coverages. He can, it opens up the deep ball, the deep overs. It just helps out when play action comes. So the running game needs to continue. Hunt's been doing a great job, but he needs a little bit of help to get that running game going. And defensively, I think we've been playing really good, really good. I mean, I think it's tough to go up to Buffalo and handle Josh Allen. There were a few times where you say, man, our defense is stepping up. Even though Buffalo got us at the end, I would like to see us to get off the field. That's the time to say, hey, guys, we got the best quarterback in the game. Can we get him back the ball?
No doubt about it. Would you rather watch Buffalo, Kansas City again or Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson again?
Oh, no. Kansas. Buffalo, no.
Yeah. Well, hey, we'll talk to you next Monday after a victory over Carolina. The team's 10-1, and everybody will be just feeling just the same amount of, you know, comfortability I think they are feeling today.
Absolutely. Go Chiefs.
Take care, man. That's Derek Johnson there with a funny response. Community America, that's what he's brought to you by.
Mm-hmm.
Credit Union. Community America Credit Union member owner, open to all invested in you, and Sheet Metal Workers, local number 2. Look, I think that's from a player's perspective in the past. Yeah. Like, he knows how they adjust in the second half of seasons. I think he's right when he says that about, Andy Reid and Spags. I was interested to know what he thought about that last play of 4th-and-2, because I'm like, yeah, I mean, I didn't see it. Again, I know I'm just a blowhard that sits on my ass and watches football. I don't know anything about it. But I'm like, man, where's the guy at? Like, you got to know, 4th-and-2, that guy is going to run the football. And then there's some people that are like, well, the tackling was putrid. Well, when he got like the second level, I think they're just like, let him score so we can go down.
You going to get in Josh Allen's way if you're a defensive back?
I mean, if I'm Brian Cook, I would, but I'm not Brian Cook, man.
Right,
but
yeah.
Like, I think that's one of those things where it's like, just go to the end zone. Let him get in. Because if Josh Allen's really smart, he'd have kneeled it at the one.
Right, exactly. And just,
I'm kidding. Do whatever you want to do.
Get in the end zone and you score the point. I hate that, like sliding.
Mahomes
did
it last year.
I know they do it.
I love it.
And then everybody applauds them. Yay, they made the smart football move there. Yeah. And then you finish one touchdown short of your bonus, and your organization is too cheap to pay you out, and you don't have it. But that's neither here nor there. But it's good to hear DJ kind of talk about it. He knows what goes on in there. Like these coaches are going to sit back this week, and they're going to kind of chuckle a little bit and go, see, we've been telling you to do this all along. We've been asking for this all along. The winds have masked it and all this kind of stuff. And now it kind of resets, it refocuses. It's like that for everybody in life. You know, when things are going good, you're kind of cruising along. Maybe you're taking a shortcut here or a shortcut there, but hey, the results are great. But at the end of the day, you know that if things get bad, you're going to have to go back and fix these things that you kind of been looking over because the results have been there.
Yeah.
And now they get that opportunity to hit the reset button. And I'd rather have that reset button now than maybe earlier in the season or something, because now you're getting into that crunch time part of the year where the resets and the I told you so's, you know, they're fresh, they're new, they're now, and we're at Thanksgiving time, and Thanksgiving time means playoff time in the NFL for all intents and purposes.
Yeah. I mean, you look at it, 30-21 loss. I think a lot of things happened. I think there's a lot of people that have the same mindset that I have on the text line that I've seen all day, and I think that's kind of where we're all three at. Like, I mean, I don't know what you like. Yeah, like the undefeated season's great. Like, you beat Buffalo in the regular season. That's awesome.
Cool.
I mean, if you lose to them, yeah, it stinks. It's a bonus game to me, in my opinion, because the Chiefs set themselves up to where you can have that sort of thing, right? Like, when you have that game against Buffalo, and let's say instead of being 9-0, you're 6-3.
Right.
That loss is a little bit more of a sting today.
Oh, God.
Right?
Then you're like, dang, 6-4.
Like,
yeah,
we got to fight for the division title. You're still the number one seed. It's your first loss of the season. And I don't know how many people had them going 9-0 all the way up to Buffalo. I think they might have had them at, like, 8-1, 7-2.
Yeah.
Maybe drop one of those early tough games, you know.
Oh, because how many people did you see? If we can get out of the first two, 1-1, we're going to be feeling really good about ourselves. Well, you came out of that gate 2-0. You
buried two teams early. And a lot of people, myself included, said if you win those first two games of the season, the AFC is over.
Yeah, and, well, it's pretty close to being there. You just got to continue to maintain now. Get back to playing that football that you know you can play, and I really do. I think Isaiah Pacheco coming back is going to be such an impact for this team from an offensive standpoint. I think we're going to see better offensive plays. We're going to see different offensive plays. We're going to see more success on offense because now you've got your star running back. And just as you get him back, now you're going to get Omenihu back on defense. You're going to get close to that time where maybe Hollywood Brown is coming back into the equation and you work Travis Kelce back into the offense. He had the week off this week up in Buffalo, but again, it's the regular season. These things happen during the course of the regular season. We will reset. We will find the playoff game. And I think you should mark the tape here, Mac. When the Chiefs and Buffalo play in the postseason, there will be a spy on Josh Allen that will come up with a huge stop, and Travis Kelce will have himself an afternoon against Buffalo in the postseason. Because we didn't see those things this time, we will see them the next time. This way, none of that's on tape right now for Buffalo. Andy didn't make their job easy for scouting into the AFC Championship game because they didn't show him anything yesterday. They were very vanilla on both sides of the ball.
DJ gave you his reaction to the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight. We give you ours because we know everybody was watching because Netflix shut down. The other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Back in on 96.5 The Fan, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Leggins with you. I'm sure you all are on the same page with us on this topic, but before we get into the Jake Paul-Mike Tyson fight, Bob, how can people save money on gas?
Well, it's a big day. The Chiefs score 21 points, and that means you can save 21 cents per gallon at Hy-Vee. All you have to do is go into a Hy-Vee store today, spend $21 or more, and you will save 21 cents at the pump only at Hy-Vee. So get in there and save today at Hy-Vee.
Nice. So that fight was god awful.
What fight are we talking about?
The Paul Tyson fight.
They're calling it a fight, but
that was definitely not worth it, right?
Like, well, the good thing is we didn't have to pay for it, you know?
Well, we did pay for it with our time.
Well, with our time we did, but it wasn't like we had to shell out $45 or whatever pay-per-view, you know, fights are back in the day, rent a TV, gather around to see whatever grift that was out there. I mean, that was... Well, oh boy, that was sad.
So I would like to know 913-586-7965, like what your like situation was. Cause I went out and hung out with my stepdad, because just kick it, bro time. I was like, hey, do you want to watch this Mike Tyson Jake Paul fight? Well, that sounds entertaining. Sure does.
Yeah, really does. Yep.
And the most entertaining fight was the two ladies that fought before Jake Paul and Mike Tyson. But that was clearly something where we talk about in sports with like football, where you're like, I no longer need to see anything from the Jets quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
It's irrelevant.
It's irrelevant.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to see another Jake Paul fight
I don't
until
either.
It's against somebody
that actually moves the needle.
Conor McGregor, is that going to move the needle for you? Because that's the rumored next fight.
He would never do it. And if he did,
who? Jake Paul,
Jake
or
would
Conor?
Never do it. Okay. And like, that's the thing is, I understand, like, it's been fun. It's been interesting, but it's now officially stale. Mm-hmm. Like, you fought a 58-year-old Mike Tyson. And in the first round, I thought, okay, here we go. There's a chance that maybe Mike could, you know, throw a hit. And then it was clearly not there. Like, it was so fatigued. It was so scripted for money. And I get it. Like, you don't have to tell me, text line, come on, guys. I know what it was. And that's what I'm saying is, like, now, unless he fights somebody where I actually am like, I don't know, like, I'm not going to watch it. Like, I'll watch the clips on Twitter. I'll watch the clips on Instagram Reels. I will not watch. I know I say that, but, like, that was it for me. Like, I've given him chances and be like, okay, that's decent. That's decent. But Canelo's not going to fight him because, I mean, unless Canelo's going to get a ton of money, which I don't know if he would. But, like, that fight was terrible, and Netflix fumbled.
Yeah, they
like,
did.
They weren't
time.
Prepared for that. What'd you say the viewership was?
They said 60 million for that.
So that's a lot.
That's a lot, man. So that's like three times an NFL game, you know? Right. Amazon had, like, about 15 million for Thursday night football. Put that in perspective. Yeah.
So, like, not even a third.
Yeah. You know, an average NFL Sunday is about 20 million people, so.
Because their next big one is Chiefs Steelers.
Yeah, but won't be even half the amount of people that are watching Chiefs Steelers that watched this fight the other night. Mm-hmm. So I would think because of the amount of people that aren't going to be watching, I don't think they're going to have issues. But if they do the NFL, yeah, I mean, that fight is a bad look, obviously, for Netflix. But if it happens during the NFL, it's going to be even worse because then people will start to complain about the NFL doing like, oh, my God, you're only selling games to, you know, this thing to make money, mm-hmm. which is true. But you got to sell it to these places to be able to stream this stuff.
Right.
Like, I don't know how many people watch the playoff game on Peacock. Let's say about 20 million. So about 2/3 more people watch this fight that have watched NFL games, except for the Super Bowl. And obviously that's not just a streaming only service, but the thing is the fight is interesting to me because I think this is where the generation got, you're talking all about Jake Paul. I don't know who the F that is. I watched it because of Mike Tyson. If Mike Tyson wasn't fighting Jake Paul, there is no chance I would have been near that fight. My youngest daughter went to a watch party and she said, I'm going to watch Jake Paul fight.
Were they all drinking Prime?
I don't know what they were drinking. They may have been.
I've heard that's nasty.
I don't
know.
It's
gross, yeah.
Is that the Mahomes beverage that you've seen?
No,
or is that the Kelce coffee?
That's the Logan
or,
Paul.
Oh, the Logan
the
Paul stuff.
Jake's brother that he does.
Okay. Yeah. I'm surprised Dion's not suing, quite honestly, because immediately I hear that word Prime and I think of Dion. So she said she's going to go watch the Jake Paul fight. And I said, do you know who he's fighting? And she said, Mike Tyson. I said, okay. I said, do you know who Mike Tyson is?
No.
No response. An hour later, I text her again. Do you know who Mike Tyson is?
Dad, leave me alone.
No response. Then I question the thing, right? And then I passed out because I had a couple of cocktails. I was tired and I was whatever. And so wake up, watch this fight. I go, you woke me up for this, I said to my wife. I said, well, you're making me watch like this old man get beat up by some guy that's on YouTube. And so yeah. I go to bed. Wake up the next morning. I said, you never responded to my text. Do you know who Mike Tyson is? She goes, yeah, I watched some videos. I heard he bit an ear. Mm-hmm. Like so they were there for the Jake Paul side of things. I was there for the Mike Tyson side of things, which to me made it the perfect event because mm-hmm. it was something for everybody.
Yeah.
And everybody has Netflix, and that's why 60 million people watched this thing. It crossed over all the generations.
Yeah.
But it stunk.
Yeah, and the other thing that stinks is that you have to like deep dive into it because there were so many rules. Like there were where like you couldn't hit a certain way, you couldn't hit below, like all this sort of stuff that he had. And it's like, okay, like you've trolled us all long enough. Now it's up to you, the rest of people, to go follow this guy's boxing career. Because for me, I mean, if I'm going to say anything, like I'm just not going to watch him fight anymore because I'm done with the whole like, I'm going to limp in, like, I'm going to make these stipulations, like, you can't do this. And, you know, it's like, dude, if you want the respect now, because you've had enough of the minor leagues, in my opinion, like, after you play Madden on pro for so long, it's time to go to all pro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, winning every game 49-7 is not fun anymore.
Some people would like that.
I guess, yeah. But, I mean, like, when you are this guy, and look, if you're going to keep making money off it, that's fine. But eventually, everyone's going to be on the same old thing that I'm on, which is like, eh, like this isn't fun anymore. Like he's fighting these guys that, you know, the meme I think this weekend was like, Jake Paul, and then it was like next opponent, Jimmy Carter in like the hospital bed.
Right, yeah.
Funny, but like kind of serious. Like you're fighting a 53-year-old Mike Tyson who had a heart failure in the first time they were getting ready for the fight.
Did you realize he had like 8 blood transfusions and saved his life during this thing? Like,
yeah, I didn't know that he went drawless. I mean, we saw his bare ass. He kissed that man on the cheek, turned around, and it was just Mike Tyson's ass. And then the best meme of the weekend was they showed Mike Tyson nude.
That's what happens when you get in your 50s, I guess. You forget to put on your pants the right way.
Each butt cheek. No, I don't think he forgot. I think he just, that's how
that
he rolls.
That was it, yeah.
And on each butt cheek was a Jets emblem.
Oh, I see that great. One. That's really good. That's good.
So,
but we all fall for it. But like, if Jake Paul,
it's because you said it's because it was Tyson.
It was, that,
and he knew that was his that was his super. And to my opinion, that's Jake's super.
Like, do you know how
he
much
he can't get another opponent like that? And if he does, it better not be that same type of fight. And Netflix better not crash.
Did you realize the amount of money that the gate took in for that fight too over the weekend? $18 million
Sure.
They generated in ticket sales at that thing. Yeah. But like that fight really did have everything you could possibly want to let it be known it was a disaster. Number one, you got a 58-year-old.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In the ring, who could barely move, fighting against the YouTube star. You had buffering issues that took place. The thing didn't start till 11:30, and then of course Jerry Jones's mic cuts out during the thing. Like, it was as perfect as you could get for an event. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong and went wrong. And Jerry Jones is sitting there going, "We just took $25 million from these people who can't stream for 2 games on Christmas," and then his mic cuts out. Right, like it was literally everything you could possibly want from a disaster all the way around. It was a total embarrassment from the production value to the streaming value to the fight value and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But if Jake Paul was fighting anybody else, no chance.
No.
I would have awakened myself to watch that fight. But Mike Tyson again, Tiger Woods, Mike Tyson, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Patrick Mahomes, guys that you will always watch and believe have a chance to win no matter the circumstances. I thought Mike Tyson had a chance to win this thing. I was totally wrong. I don't know that Jake Paul won the fight, but I mean, I don't even know that I would call that a fight.
Well, they didn't even get the fight before that with the girls, right? The one that won lost, and the one that lost won. Is there a celebrity fight you'd like to see in the future? Because I have a few.
All right.
Tyreek Hill and Jalen Ramsey.
Ooh, nice.
Because they go at it all the time.
Yes.
Now they're on the same team.
Yeah.
Jason Kelsey versus Emmanuel Acho.
Why do you want to see that one? I need more.
I don't like Emmanuel Acho.
I don't either.
They're both on NFL desks. They're both NFL players. They're both roughly the same age, at least. They're both in shape. And I think Jason Kelsey could absolutely destroy somebody. Plus, he'd be fun to watch box. And if he's going to box anybody, let it be Emmanuel Acho.
I'm good with that. I'm glad you said that. I don't like Emmanuel Acho either. No, I don't think he adds anything to the equation. No. Nothing. Brings nothing to the party.
He's bait.
And then my last one for fun would be Stephen A. versus Skip Bayless.
Now, see, people would pay for that, though. I would think the sports fan in America would play.
For sure.
And you may get more than the $60
million. Oh, yeah.
Netflix. Like,
put that in Dallas.
ESPN is looking to branch out. And if you don't know, they just got Inside the NBA on ESPN. We can get into that. The greatest sports television show is going to ESPN with a twist.
Oh, yeah.
But I think if ESPN Plus wants to generate subscriptions, mm-hmm. you started out, you say Stephen A versus Skip Bayless, and you know both of them would get into that ring.
Oh yeah,
like it would be be unbelievable. It would hype machine with ESPN. It would be fantastic. I 100% would be in on that.
913-586-7965. Who would you like to see fight? Somebody from the 913 said Muhammad Ali is Jake's next opponent.
Yeah, well, that's what. Yeah, yeah.
He probably still couldn't hit him with a punch. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Leggins here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Coming up on the other side, what's in the script? How wrong were we? Very. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.